This lesson actually came about because of a teenager, actually over in Africa. I got into a discussion with him about exactly what is idolatry. Because he had the impression from all the lessons that he's heard that basically anything you like was an idol. Whether it was sports or a car or girls, that these things could be idols. And actually, I looked it up and looked for some denominational quotes to see where this was coming from, and I did find some. John Piper had said, what is an idol? Well, it is the thing loved, or the person loved more than God, wanted more than God, desired more than God, treasured more than God, enjoyed more than God. It could be a girlfriend, it could be grades, it could be the approval of other people. It could be success in business. It could be sexual stimulation. It could be a hobby or a musical group that you are following, or a sport, or your immaculate yard. Now, in that quote, he does start out saying more than God. But I can see somebody hearing that or reading that and coming away, well, it's anything you like. Because there's so much emphasis on the things that you want. And the things you want. Like, and here's another one. This one came from the United Church of God on their website. Idolatry occurs when we begin to value anything more than that we value God. If we have spent more time thinking about our hero than God, that's idolatry. If we are thought about our latest gadget or our personal appearance, that's idolatry. If first priority in our lives is our family, even that is idolatry. And here, they try to, you know, define it by how much time you spend. But I start thinking, well, that's not a real accurate way of describing it either. And I can see people coming away with the wrong impression about exactly what idolatry is. So we're going to focus on that and look at what the Bible says idolatry is. Now, in Exodus chapter 20 is where we're going to start. That's a part of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, and starting with verse 3, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol, or any likeness of which is in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters underneath the earth. You shall not worship them, or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, notice what it was, the emphasis here is he's talking about things that were made. So we're talking about graven images or any other likeness of anything from the world which people worship. And they are works of man's hands. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 28. There you will serve gods, the works of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. These are works of man. Man made these things. They're modeled after things in this world. In fact, that's basically one of the things about people is that we tend to imitate what God has already made. And so when people make up their own gods, they imitate things that God has made. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man or of birds or four-footed animals or crawling creatures. And if we left it there, perhaps we still would come away with a wrong impression. If it's making images that's wrong, well then if I make a sculpture, or if I make a painting, or if I take a photograph, well those are images. And actually there is, you know, one religion, the Amish are known for it, that say, you know, you can't take a picture of a person because that's an image, and it's so you're making something that's in the likeness of God. And so they forbid that. But they missed the other half of that, is it was made for the purpose of being worshipped. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And in verse 16. Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. Beware that your hearts are not deceived and you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. That's why people make these idols, is for the purpose of worshiping them. In Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 20. In that day, man will cast away to the moles and to the bats their idols of silver and their gold, idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. That's what it is about idolatry. That's really the problem. It's not so much what they're making as the fact that they're trying to worship something as made by man, made by man's hands. That's why you read about altars and incense and images, is because these are all connected with idolatry. So in Isaiah chapter 17, Isaiah 17 and in verse 8, he will not have regard for the altars, the works of his hands, nor will he look at that which his fingers have made, even the asherim and the incense stands. These are parts of idolatry worship. This is the offering up of incense, the offering of sacrifices, things that they're offering in worship. It's not just physical things either they're offering, but they're offering these idols praise. Take a look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to a graven image. This is the problem that God had with idolatry. People were looking, like for instance, when Israelites made the golden calf. They formed a golden calf and then they said, "See Israel, this is the God who delivered you from Egypt." Well, wait a minute. They got delivered from Egypt before they even made the idol. And since when does a chunk of gold free somebody from slavery? That was insulting God. That they would give praises to a man-made object as if it did anything. They would also pray to idols. Take a look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 20, gather yourselves and come, draw near, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. We pray to God because we expect God to answer our prayers. A lump of wood doesn't answer prayers. And to claim that is insulting the real God. The God who did create the universe and who does answer prayers. And people put their trust in these idols. In Psalms 115. Psalms 115. And in verse 48. Or sorry, 4. Start with verse 4 and we'll go to 8. Psalms 115 verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. You see, there's an expectation that somehow this idol is going to change my life. change my luck, change what's happening. I pray to it, and somehow this is going to make my life different. And they put their trust in that idol. And so these idols are then served. In Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, and in verse 8, however, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those by which by nature are no gods. It's a form of slavery, is what God is saying, that you're serving something that doesn't really exist as a god. It's imagination. But these gods are then followed. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the other gods of the peoples who surround you. They don't determine your life. They don't determine what's right and wrong. That belongs to God alone. Now, we've kind of hit on this, but let's talk about exactly why is it that these idols, why are they wrong? First off, they're just things that people make from the materials in this world. Part of our scripture reading was Isaiah 44, verses 9 through 20. And I don't want to take time to read the whole thing again, but Tony read it for us. But go back, if you have a chance, and read that again, Isaiah 44, starting with verse 9. It talks about the fact people chop down trees. They use part of it to make a fire and cook their meals. They get warm by it. But then they take a part of the same thing they use for utility purposes, carve it, and say, fall down before it and worship it. And Isaiah's point is, how dumb can you get? It doesn't make sense. They're just things in this world. In Isaiah 45, and in verse 20, Isaiah 45 and verse 20, gather yourselves and come, draw near, you fugitives of the nation. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idols and pray to a God who cannot save. They can't move by themselves. Somebody has to carry them. They have no knowledge. They don't have brains. More likely, you know, the Wizard of Oz with a straw man. I just need a brain. Idols have no brains. And they cannot save anybody. And yet people put their trust in them. Jeremiah talks about it too in Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10 and verse 5. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. And they cannot speak, they must be carried, because they cannot walk. Nor do not fear them, for they cannot do no, they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. That's one of the things, you know, sometimes it's hard to get across to people. They have put so much emphasis on these idolatries, these idols that they worship. And to point out, well, these things do nothing. But they've been told all their lives that these somehow make an impact. And it's hard for them sometimes to grasp. But these idols are helpless. Not only that, because they're made out of things of the material world, how many things in our material world last? Take a look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 20. As for the idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions it with chains of silver. It's just metal. Metal does decay. Silver especially tarnishes, but you know, over time, they lose their shape. And so Paul made the conclusion when he was talking to Christians about idolatry. He said, in truth, they're just nothing. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, he says, therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. When you really come down to it, you know, that statue of Athena that they were worshiping, it's just a piece of art. That's all it is. It's just a statue. It has no impact in the world. It has doesn't do anything. It doesn't say anything. It has nothing but what people want to ascribe to it. And to call those things gods is a mockery of the one true God. And so the point then becomes, then what about other things? And we talk about, you know, making up gods to be worshipped and things like that. Can there be other things that are gods? Well, first of all, we need to understand, when people make gods, they do it for a purpose. They want to live by their own rules. Go back to Romans again. Romans chapter 1. Again, starting with verse 22. We're going to read a little further. Romans chapter 1, verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies may be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. They wanted to follow a lie. In fact, as the passage continues on, the very first lie that most people end up wanting is no restriction, no rules on sexual relationships. That's the lie that people want. And by the way, if you don't understand that, take a look at evolution and the followers of atheism. What's the first thing they want to take away? Any rules and restrictions about sexual relationships. That has always been a thorn in some people's flesh. They don't like to be restricted. So idols only reflect what the creators of those idols want. After all, the idols don't have brains, they don't have words, they don't talk or anything else. They don't give rules out. It's the people who are worshiping them who are making up their own rules. If we understand that about idolatry, then think about other things. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and mammon. Wealth is being set up as an alternative to God. Some people make a god out of wealth. Now, you know, some people look at it and say, well, I don't fall down and worship them. But the point is that for a lot of people, wealth becomes their moral barometer. Should I do this or not? Well, this makes me more money. Therefore, I'm going to do it. The amount of money they make becomes their determiner of whether they're going to do something or not. Not whether God says it's right or wrong. How much money does it make me? When we start allowing things to make the decisions about what's right and wrong, then we started making an idol out of it. That's why, for instance, in Colossians 3, Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 5, Colossians 3 and verse 5, it says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Greed is being called idolatry. But why? Because the greedy man makes money his moral compass. It's what decides what's right and wrong for in his world. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 5, it says, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Again, the covetous person, the greedy man, is an idolater. He may not realize it, but he's serving money. It controls his life. And it's what receives his praise. Think about it. Hey, I did well this week. Yeah, look how much money I made. Money is then the reason why I'm where I'm at. And we forget about God. And it becomes for the greedy person what he trusts. It's what he has confidence in. But it's not just money. It can be extended a little further than that. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Just as people can do greed with money, some people get greedy about their desires. Is what I want. And their appetite becomes their God. Again, think about it as far as making moral decisions. And we see this in our world constantly. How many people make decisions based on what they desire at that moment versus what they know should be right or wrong? Well, I like it. So, that doesn't make it right. Nor does the fact that I may not like something make it wrong. Take again a look at Ephesians 4, this time verse 19. Ephesians 4, 19. And it says, they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Their sensuality becomes their focus of greed, their covetousness. Here we're not no longer just talking about money, but we expand it into anything else that people just want. And they want it so badly that it becomes their moral compass. And like all sins, it becomes a form of slavery. In Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and starting with verse 8. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? The things of this world that we desire becomes a god that enslaves us because people serve their desires. They allow it to control their lives. In other words, he puts what he wants first. And when you really come down to it, remember the reason why people create idols is so they can create their own rules. Then notice then what happens is that if a person is serving their wants and their appetites, then they're putting themselves first. His wants, his desires becomes his God and his moral compass. That's why you find a statement in 1 Samuel chapter 15. That might seem a little puzzling at first, but maybe a little bit clearer now. In 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel is scolding Saul, Samuel's scolding Saul, and he says, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Notice he's saying that insubordination, stubbornness, is like acting without law, iniquity. And idolatry. Wait, how is stubbornness like idolatry? I can understand acting without law. But how is it like idolatry? Well, the word here, pastor, is translated as stubbornness or insubordination. It means to push or urge. In this case, it means to push your own agenda. This is what he's doing. It's insubordination. I'm doing what I want. Well, that's why people make idols. So they can do what they want. That's why he compares it to idolatry. So in other words, when we talk about what is idolatry, it isn't just something you like a lot. That's what gets a lot of teenagers scared. Well, I really like my girlfriend. I might make her an idol lover. I gotta. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's not what makes you happy. It's when a person lives for his own personal desires. When he obeys his desires and they control his behavior. It's something a person believes will change his life if he just possesses it. It'll bring him luck, if you will. And yeah, sometimes people do that with things. I've seen people with their lucky hat. I know sometimes we tease about it, but think about what it's saying. Having a piece of felt somehow changes your life. It's something a person puts his trust in. Something he calls upon to save him out of trouble. It's what somebody uses to replace the real God so that they can do what they want. That's idolatry. Hope you'll think about these things today. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.